And we've assembled the round table, and doing this after a win, I think, is always makes for a little livelier discussion. Jim Donovan and Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network. We've got Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Jim, two wins in 3 weeks matters. It's two wins, period, for this team that struggles to get wins is one thing, but two and three, I don't know if there's a trend going, but you can get some traction maybe.
Oh, I think so. You know what I think, Vic and everybody? I think when a team starts to turn the corner, they start to win at home, and they're close on the road. And that certainly is the next step to win on the road. And the Browns have been very close on the road, really, in most of their games. But they're starting to win at home, and I think that's when you notice that it begins to click for them. So I think the two wins, you know, Bengals and Chargers, and now should make everybody pretty excited about what could happen Sunday against the Ravens.
I think, you know, the fact that we've had players hurt, and all of a sudden some of these young kids are getting more consistent because of the playing time they've had. Buster Screen, obvious example. John Hughes, Billy Wynn. You know, that's how you build a team, you know, with the depth of your roster. And you know, where it used to be, if somebody went down, you go, oh, no, now what are we going to do? Now, really don't have to worry at a lot of positions.
I've been saying for 3 weeks that this team's on the cusp, and I believe it more now than I ever have.
Really? And what from a 7-6 game gives you that, though? Because that would be the
Yeah, well, the because the Browns have, over the last 2 years, lost those kind of games, okay, that they understood what the elements were going to be heading in. They decided, you know what, we're going to have to run the ball. You had a healthy Trent Richardson. You managed the game despite, you know, scoring off your first drive and then going 9 possessions without getting a first down, I think it was. So I like the way they handled the adversity. They stuck to the game plan. And obviously, you know, there was a big drop on the San Diego side of things that helped things out. But I just see a team that, you know, through the first 5 games, I think we forget sometimes that, you know, Joe Hayden missed those 4 games. And there were 2 or 3 winnable games in that. So we could be looking at a very different record at this point in the season than 2-6.
I think the point that I like best about this game is just as Tom was talking about the type of game it was, slogging it out in horrible conditions, defensive-oriented. This is not the ideal Pat Shurmur type of game. No. In other words, what his strength is as a coach. So the fact that he's got a team that wins a game like this, I think tells you when the conditions are ideal, they can also win games more with, those big plays, those big passing plays.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, and I said it to you up in the booth before the game while the pregame warm-ups were going on. Right. I mean, this was a weather game. I mean, there's no question about it, like Tom mentions. And I thought the Browns embraced that a little bit yesterday. I think they realized this is what it is now. It's a weather game. It's a wind game. It's rain. It's, you got to hold on to the ball. Doug mentioned that before the ball game. I think that all played out in the game. And I also think this. I watched the two teams during the change of possession when, you know, if you're watching a game on TV, you don't see it. And I just thought the body language was very different between the Browns and the Chargers. The Chargers were around, you know.
We're not in La Jolla
furnaces
anymore.
Yeah, they were not in La Jolla. You're right.
Well, it was more of an AFC North game than, an AFC West game. I mean, this was, you got in the trenches, you slugged it out, and you just hoped to limit the big plays. And, you know, both teams, I don't think they threw a ball that was completed over 20 yards. I mean, Rivers threw a couple, but I think he found out what that wind was doing to him, and he shortened it up.
You know, we learned something else, I think, about Trent Richardson in this game as well. Because, and I don't know, I'm sure a week makes a big difference when body parts are healing, and maybe body parts of a young man like Richardson compared to some of us, you know, the healing's quicker. But nonetheless, I saw a guy who looked like he was in great, I would say great pain. He was in pain in that Indianapolis game. He was not right. He was not comfortable. He wasn't running the way we saw him run yesterday. So I'll grant that a week probably had something to do with it, but I also think there's a mindset. And if this was the weather game that you talked about, Jim, Tom, to me, this kid, he embraced it so fully, as did the offensive line, but there was an authority with which he was running. And he wanted to make that statement.
You're right.
The game's on my shoulders.
You're right. With purpose. There's no doubt about it. From his very first carry, and I thought that Alex Smith at fullback did a nice job leading for him. And not to knock Owen Marisic, but I really thought that Alex Smith did a nice job of getting up. And Doug can talk about what that means to have a fullback, you know, helping to open those holes. But I also think Trent has had a tendency this year to maybe try to freelance a little bit now and then. And if the hole's not there, you know, if there was always a hole at Alabama, but if there wasn't one, he could just kind of kick it outside and do whatever he wants. You don't do that with the big boys.
You know, and the other thing is that, and Tom and I were just down in the locker room, and you know, I wish we had a microphone with us all day long because I have some of my best stuff when we're off mic.
I'm going to get anyway, you for
sound. Can we do that? Sure. But I said to Tom, you know, that big-time players make big plays at the right time, and that the catch of the pass when the Browns were in bad field position late in the game when they started at their own two, and he caught that swing pass and got them out over the 20-yard line, that was a big-time play. That might be the play of the game.
I agree.
You know?
Well, and the other thing is, I think, you know, is you play the game, you're always going to play hurt.
Yeah.
But to learn to compensate and play hurt and what you can do and what you can't do is a big thing. Because there's a comes a time where, you know, you become a detriment to your team, but there's a time when you can take it this far. And I think, you know, Trent probably learned a little bit about that. And I think this past week, he practiced much better than he did the week before because, you know, and I think just showed in the field. We got to remember, he really hasn't worked with this offensive line in live thing. He's going to get much better.
Sure.
And we saw a pretty good running back yesterday.
It's coming around. No, you're absolutely right about that, Deacon. The other thing that we see in the education process is Brandon Whedon. This would not be considered a sterling game for him by any stretch of the imagination, but I think where he showed something for me, though, was by not turning it over, by taking care of the ball, and by basically, you're laughing, Tom, but I just thought there was a better, he's showing this better sense of got to take care of it.
Yeah, I'm laughing because I'm thinking of his postgame comment where he said he was telling himself, "Don't be a moron," and that's exactly. And I tell you, as he rolled
myself that every day,
and as he rolled right in a couple of those plays in the fourth quarter, and you could tell downfield there was nothing there. You could hear everyone in the press box saying, "Throw it away, throw it away, don't be a moron." So you're right; he has grown up. And I tell you what, though, he made a couple of really nice throws, though. On the run, I thought one to Cameron, and I forget there was another one as well that were on a day like Doug said before, you couldn't throw the ball more than 20 yards down the field.
Well, and I think, you know, he had that first one they missed to Ben Watson.
Yeah.
You know, when you get in that win, and you haven't played in that win in these elements here, you know, you don't know how to throw it. And we talked about he didn't put enough air underneath it, and Pat said, you know, maybe he should have zipped it a little more of a line drive. But, I mean, those are just things you've got to learn at this stadium.
This is the Roundtable. Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, Tom Withers, yours truly, Vic Carucci, here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. It was a day for the defense. We've said this. But in particular, some guys really stood out. And I think from the secondary, T.J. Ward had a very active game. And then you look at Buster Skrine making that closeout breakup. Overall, this defense, and Dick Geron, let's give him credit for the plan, because Phillip Rivers looked pretty befuddled.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, and I think very frustrated. And I think he gets frustrated.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think he, you know, he's trying to get five wins yesterday, and it, you know, only one is available. I think the game really was kind of set on both teams' opening possessions, and I think that San Diego getting stopped on the 4th and 1 kind of said to them, oh, son of a gun, these guys came to play today. They're not a 1-6 team. And Ward made a great play on the 4th down play. And then I think the Browns' first drive, you know, said a lot to them that, hey, listen, we can run the ball. Even though they've got great stats against the run, we can do it. And so we should stick with it. And it looks like our guy's feeling pretty peppy today, you know, and he's going to play. But you're right. And I'll tell you what, I mean, last week I thought the defensive tackles had a real rookie game. But I thought Billy Winn was exceptionally. I thought Hughes played well, too. But I thought Billy Winn had a real bounce-back game yesterday.
You know, it's funny you're talking about T.J. Ward on the Meacham drop. You know, they came with a corner blitz, and I think that was T.J.'s guy, so he's got to be thankful to the media that they exposed that they were using Stickum, so he didn't have it that play.
No, very good point. But, you know, the two young tackles, and then let's talk about the two tackles who didn't play who could very well be in the lineup for this upcoming game against Baltimore. So this is where this thing gets exciting with Phil Taylor and Ataba Rubin maybe coming back soon.
You mean to tell me the Browns are actually going to get healthy and get bodies back? I mean, this goes against every trend we've known here for 10 years.
Yeah, I know. It would be a miracle. But truthfully, this is where I think you look at and James Michael Johnson and Craig Robertson, the youth of this team, and a lot of this is in this front seven, and what they've worked without, and you made that great point earlier, Tom, about Joe Hayden not being there, so having him back, I think in front of us, and maybe we take this stuff for granted, this team evolves and changes basically by the week.
Yeah, I think so, and I hope the town gets excited about this game Sunday, because I think you have to watch what they've done now, week to week and how better they have gotten. But the other thing, you have to go back to that Thursday night game in Baltimore. Hey, they hung right in there against the Ravens on that Thursday night. They took everything Baltimore threw at them, and they threw some punches themselves. And they're on the last play of the game, you know, ready to tie the ball game up. So I think the town should be excited, because I think this is, you know, this should have a little bit of a big game feel to it on Sunday, because I think they got a legitimate shot at playing with the Ravens and knocking these guys off.
Well, I think they can play with the Ravens. I think, you know, the Ravens, they've got some injuries now, too, you know. And it's funny, you know, we used to have the bye week early, and it used to bother you. This was a year with Phil Taylor. You kind of wish maybe you had the bye week a little earlier.
Right.
But, you know, you're going to have, you know, we don't, between Billy Winn and John Hughes, you don't have pocket collapsers. When you get Phil Taylor and Ruben in there, they can, you know, squeeze the pocket or collapse it up the middle. So that makes, you know, Sheard and Parker and everybody Frosty much more effective. Frosty on the outside.
Yeah. As Doug knows, I usually make a beeline in the locker room toward Phil Dawson when I get in there, just to get his sense of where things are at. He's seen a lot here in 13 years.
Mr. Perspective. Yeah.
He really does. And what he told me again today was, these are not the same old Browns, that this is a young group that's hungry. I think that's indicative of them coming in on a Monday where they could have had the day off to get some work in. Sure, they know that next week they're going to have some more time to replenish and what have you, but Phil keeps telling me these are not the same old Browns.
And that's a big thing, too, is that they wanted to come in to work on a, you know, not take the victory Monday, but also that they're still engaged. They went into this game 1-6, and I think they were ignoring that. I think they're still connected to whatever the hope is, that you know you're in a hole, you're in a serious hole there, but I don't think they're fixated on that, and they're still engaged with their head coach. They still are playing for Patrick.
Oh, absolutely, I agree with you on that. You know, I just think it's great to see the progress in these players, because I mean, you know, I don't look at them now as being as young as I looked at them before. I mean, I think Gordon is a totally different player than he was 4 weeks ago, and I think Greg Little is a different player than he was 4 weeks ago, and I think that Richardson and Wheaton, a much different player than he was 4 weeks ago. I mean, this is really fun to watch this. That's why I think the town should be excited about Sunday.
I like the way they used Gordon, by the way, yesterday. It was a little bit of a different Josh Gordon. I mean, they ran him underneath a little bit more.
And let him run.
And, you know, as Duck said, you couldn't throw the ball deep, why not try to see him? And I tell you what, that one pass that he caught and turned upfield was very impressive.
I mean, he almost took that all the way.
All right, game balls. We might as well. We got to do them after a win.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to give one to Trent Richardson. I'm only going to give two. All right, and I'm going to give one to my man Buster Skrine, because I'm really happy for that kid. He really has lived the life of a rookie corner. Yep. The ups and the downs. Maybe the downs and the ups.
Doug? I'm giving one to Jimmy Haslam. I like my job.
So he gets a second one.
No. I think the defense, you know, the guys in the defense played well. And I agree with Jimmy. Buster Skrine, you know, has stepped up. And, you know, they didn't really try Sheldon Brown yesterday, which
interesting.
It was interesting. But, you know, that's the way it goes. And I think Billy Winn, you get a sack, his first career sack, you get a fumble recovery. Yeah. Good day for Billy Winn.
I can't do better than any of those choices, and I'd give one to Mr. Meacham, but I'm afraid he'd drop it. So.
I'm going to give one to the entire defense. I'm going to be generous. I think they deserved it all the way through. In this type of game, it is on their shoulders, and I thought they handled it quite well. All right, guys, great job. Appreciate it. It's Jim Donovan from the Browns Radio Network, Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, Tom Withers from the Associated Press. It's the Roundtable. We've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.